Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. In this episode, various experts in the kidney cancer field discuss findings on novel disease detection methods and data on treatment approaches such as immunotherapy at the 2024 Kidney Cancer Research Summit. First, Dr. Carl Simon from Dana-Farber Cancer Institute spoke about his study exploring the use of a liquid biopsy epigenomic profiling tool in detecting sarcomatoid differentiation among patients with renal cell carcinoma. He detailed how this approach may avoid the sampling errors and other limitations of standard tumor biopsy when trying to observe the sarcomatoid features.
For a little bit of background, sarcomatoid differentiation in RCC is known for its worse prognosis in patients that present these features. It's a very aggressive cancer where patients barely live with a median overall survival of 6 months. However, fortunately, it responds very well to immunotherapy per the studies in the recent years. But the challenge here is to be able to detect it accurately. And on tissue biopsies, it is sometimes missed because of sample heterogeneity and sampling error and tumor heterogeneity. And so in our approach, we suggest a liquid biopsy that can detect sarcomatoid differentiation, overcoming these challenges of tumor heterogeneity because it picks up the whole tumor burden. And so we developed an assay based on epigenomic signatures of the sarcomatoid differentiation in RCC that is able to pick up this transcriptional activity signal using a recently described approach by our group in the Friedman Lab and Baca Lab called cell-free ChIP-seq, based on the detection of histone marks in ctDNA, circulating tumor DNA. And using this assay, we were able to achieve a rate of detection of up to 0.92 as an AUC, which is already great. We're trying to improve it more, but this basically has major implication in cancer care because we would be able to select probably immunotherapy-based regimen or even dual immunotherapy for the patient that has sarcomatoid RC or at least has a high signal of sarcomatoid score that we calculated through this plasma assay. When you perform a tumor biopsy on the patient or just a metastatectomy, since sarcomatoid features are not present on the whole in the whole tumor, it can be present in some metastases and some other might just not be present. What can happen is just you sample a metastasis that do not present sarcomatoid feature while it is present other somewhere else. And the advantage in liquid biopsy is that it picks up the whole tumor burden. So it's the aggregate of the circulating tumor DNA of the whole tumor burden of the patient across its whole body from the primary tumor if they didn't undergo nephrectomy yet and the whole metastasis in the body. So the fact that it picks up the whole tumor burden makes it easier to detect any sarcomatoid-specific signal in this liquid biopsy assay.
Next, Dr. Neil Shaw from Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center highlighted real-world data on the use of later-line targeted therapies for patients with metastatic renal cell carcinoma. Findings showed no difference in overall survival outcomes across different types of treatment regimens in this population.
Kidney cancer treatment landscape is changing rapidly. We have many new treatment regimens in kidney cancer space, especially within first-line setting. Now, the question is that what happens after a patient receives this modern first-line agent, like including IO-IO and IO-TK agent? What are the next-line agents they are receiving? What is their efficacy data? And that was the rationale for us to study in this poster. So what we noted that we noted a diverse pattern of different agents used in this setting, cabozantinib being one of the most common drug, but there were a lot of different combination drugs being used, including IO-TK combination, what we noted that, like, to our surprise, there was no one agent superior. Like, there was no difference in overall survival among all of these diverse agents used in this land setting, which was a very interesting finding. Also, overall, most of the patient median survival was 6 months or less, suggesting that, like, we really need novel agent in this line or in this space post-RTKI to improve the outcome. Those were the two major findings from our poster.
Finally, Dr. Bradley McGregor from Dana-Farber Cancer Institute discussed results from a phase 1b study assessing abemaciclib monotherapy in patients with advanced renal cell carcinoma. Although abemaciclib yielded no responses among 11 patients in the study, ongoing combination therapy trials may show a synergistic effect in this disease.
I think there's been a lot of interest in developing new targets for renal cell carcinoma. You know, when we go back, there's actually some really nice preclinical data that CDK4/6 inhibition may be synergistic with HIF-2 inhibition. But as you look back at all the trials done with CDK4/6 inhibitors, there actually hasn't been any data looking at role of monotherapy in clear cell renal cell carcinoma. So we were looking to sort of develop a program where we looked at the role of CDK4/6 inhibition in renal cell carcinoma with HIF-2 inhibitors, but we realized that as we look to take that next step, we really need to have that data for single agent. We did enroll 11 patients who were heavily pretreated clear cell renal cell carcinoma and treated with abemaciclib until unacceptable toxicity or progression. So in the 11 patients treated, there were no responses by RECIST criteria. In fact, all patients had rapid progression of the disease on their first scan. Manageable toxicity, but although I think there was problems with diarrhea, neutropenia, but we had none of the patients unfortunately respond. Now, there's a lot of factors that come into play here. These were heavily pretreated patients. I think on average, some of the patients had 4, 5, 6 lines of therapy prior to enrolling on the trial. But I think what this trial does is gives us some really important insight to the activity of monotherapy. So there are several trials that are ongoing looking at adding CDK4/6 inhibitors to existing paradigms. So there is trials in development looking at palbociclib with belzutifan. We have a trial that's going to be opening soon, SPARK, looking at sasanlimab with axitinib and palbociclib. There's others in trials with sasanlimab, the Nikang HIF-2 and palbociclib. A lot of things are out there and being thought about. And this data will be really important as we look to see contribution components. The fact that we now have data, albeit in just 11 patients, that we had no single agent activity, it will really help us frame the results of these combination trials in the future. When we look at the data from UAP, for instance, right, one of the issues with the EMA was contribution components. Do patients need IPI? Was this all driven by nivolumab? And so you need to have that single agent activity. So what we have shown is that in this cohort 11 patients, we didn't have any responses. So as we look to see the results of these combination trials, if there is a marked improvement in response rate compared to what we may have expected to see with single agent HIF-2, that would really suggest that there really is a synergistic effect, because we show that there was, from a contribution components, abemaciclib alone would not seem to offer any clinical benefit.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available, or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.